blues singer Eric Clapton has known both guilt and grief in his life. He's known love and loss in his life. He's known rejection and dejection in his life. And very often as he sings the blues, the theme of desperation comes out. It's 3 miles to the river that would carry me away, 2 miles to the dusty street that I saw you on today. It's 4 miles to my lonely room where I will hide my face, and about a half a mile to the downtown bar that I ran from in disgrace. Lord, how long have I got to keep on running? 7 hours? 7 days? Or 7 years? All I know is since you've been away, I feel I'm drowning. I'm drowning. I'm drowning in a river of tears. The Christian poet Ruth Calkin said, Lord, I am drowning in a sea of perplexity. Huge billows are crashing over me. Strong currents are sucking me under, and I cannot swim. We could not do a series in extracts from the life of David without referring to the Psalms that he wrote. Could we? After all, the book of Psalms is the Hebrew prayer book. Did you know that? After all, in the early church, it was the Christian hymn book. I don't know if you know this, but our Lord Jesus Christ used the Psalms as his chorus book. And even upon the cross, quoted from the book of Psalms. And to every Christian that's ever lived and will ever live, the book of Psalms will be and has been and continues to be the devotional and emotional manual of every true believer. Why? Because in the book of Psalms, depicted for us is life in the raw and in the real world and the raw pain you and I face. And there are many different types of psalms. There are psalms of jubilation. They're played in the major chord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, stamp your feet, slap your thigh, wave your hands. There are psalms of inspiration as David looks down the corridor of time and sees, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks directly and specifically about the life and times of Jesus the Messiah upon the earth. And then there are times where the psalmist is in the minor key. They are psalms of tribulation. They are psalms of grief and loss and guilt and pain and shame and heartache and brokenness. Listen to this verse, these few verses from Psalm 34. Verse 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. This evening, brokenness. And 3 things I want you to take note of. In a broken world, full of broken people, with broken hearts, and broken dreams, and broken relationships, and broken promises, where very often men and women are drowning in a river of tears, I want you to notice that into that brokenness that you and I face, As believers, one, we can bring God's promises. Number two, we can bring this wonderful truth of God's presence. And number three, we can bring this glorious truth of God's provision. You see, in the Bible, there are two types of brokenness. There's the brokenness which is external, caused by pain, circumstances. And there is the brokenness which is internal, caused by penitence. You see, we will get to the point in the life of David when in absolute shame and brokenness he will cry out, "Be merciful to me, according to your loving kindness and the multitude of your tender mercies. Because a broken and contrite heart he will not despise." However, in this particular psalm, you'll find that from the very title itself, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away, puts this psalm in the context of David being the fugitive. And that's where we've been the last few weeks. He's a fugitive. He's a desperado. He's considered to be a bandit. Remember, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Those backslappers are now backstabbers. The posse's out, the bloodhounds are sniffing. The spies have been, and last week we had 3,000 soldiers with Saul. Yes, we had that false act of penitence. It was just remorse. There was no change, because at the end of last week, Saul went back to his palace and David went back to his caves. No change at all. What's more, we shall find that David will spare Saul's life again. And in his life and times, there will be depths and there will be peaks. And I wonder, when he woke up in the morning, this sweet psalmist of Israel, the author of many of these psalms in the Hebrew hymn book, whether he gathered those desperados around him and just told the story of him going down to Gath, of him feigning insanity. When he told them the stories of what it's like to be running and hiding in fields and caves and in wilderness. I wonder if he told them the psalms about barrenness and aridness and brokenness. And I wonder whether he preached a sermon on these words: "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Number one, in the midst of your brokenness, remember God's promise. He hears our cry. He hears our cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't there a shame, don't you think, that the power of simple statements is lost in our complex age? I remind you that Jesus of Nazareth was the greatest preacher that ever lived, was probably the briefest preacher that's ever lived, and certainly the clearest preacher: state, illustrate, apply. Here's the promises you need to hold on to when you're broken in heart and crushed in spirit. He hears. He's already said, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and the ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The whole Bible underscores that truth. Here's the ancient prophet Jeremiah. They call him the weeping prophet. He's more acquainted with tears than he ever is with triumph. Everything that could go wrong under his ministry goes wrong. And yet he says these amazing words, speaking on behalf of the Almighty to a wayward people. If they would turn to him, before you call, says the Lord, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Imagine that. Here's David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. By the time you get to Psalm 62, he says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart. Pour it out. God is there as our refuge, as our strength, as our support, as our help, as the one who hears and answers prayer. When the Messiah walks the earth, he will have nothing to do with phony baloney. He'll have nothing to do with the scribes and Pharisees who stand on street corners, painting their faces, making themselves look very, very serious. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! The secret of prayer is secret prayer. Get alone with God. But what does the Messiah say? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. These are the amazing promises of God. And what does Paul write to the Philippians in chapter 4? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What does the Apostle John write? In 1 John chapter 5, and verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. Right throughout the Bible, we are told he hears our prayers. We shall come to this secondly in a minute. But do you notice he is near to the broken in heart? God especially hears those who are broken. God especially hears those who are crushed in spirit. When blow after blow of circumstance comes our way, and pain unimaginable from every direction comes and just seems to sweep us away in a storm, battered by billows, sucked by current, feeling as if we're overwhelmed and drowning and we can't swim. God especially hears then. Number two, bring into your brokenness the presence of God. He is near to the broken in heart, to the crushed in spirit. Remember Alice in Wonderland? The book which was reading didn't have any pictures. It's hard to read a book without pictures. Sometimes we think, if only there was a picture of God. Of course, God is a spirit, invisible. Of course, God is not like you and I. We're finite. He's infinite. We are mortal. He's eternal. We know nothing. He knows everything. We are weak. He has all power. We are limited to time and space. He fills the heavens and the earth. But there is a beautiful picture of God. Moses knew that picture. Underneath, everlasting arms. Remember when the psalmist wrote Psalm 139? Lord, you've searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. You form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything there is to know about me, Lord, you know. Everything. This psalm speaks of those wonderful attributes of God. His omniscience. His knowledge of all things. His omnipresence. His presence everywhere. His omnipotence, his power to do whatever he wishes and chooses to do. Here's David, I'm overwhelmed by this. When I sit down, when I stand up, when I go out, when I come in, when I'm in the dark, when I'm in the light, when I was in my mother's womb. You knew me. Before there was ever a day, you knew all about it. What's more, if I was to fly to the outskirts of the universe, you'd be there. If I was to make my bed in Sheol, you would be there. You are near. You are present. This is an incredible truth. The truth that the God who is infinite, without measure, without boundary, without limitation, without beginning, without end, without age, is the God who is imminent, near, nearer than our heartbeat, nearer than our next breath, nearer from the flowing of tears down your face. He is near. To the broken in heart, to the crushed in spirit. Number three, his provision. For there is in these verses in Psalm 34 something you and I just cannot quite get our heads round. Listen to it. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Listen to verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all? Wait a minute, Lord. Out of them all? Out of them all? You deliver out of all our troubles? I lost my job. I never got it back. I lost my health. I didn't get it back. I saw someone near to me who lost their mind and lost their faculties. I didn't get them back. I know someone who lost their husband and lost their wife and never got them back. I know someone whose loss is so deep that even now, the words of C.S. Lewis, cram in, nobody told me. Grief was so much like fear, and I'm still in that fear. And I still feel as if I'm sinking, and I still feel as if the billows are all over me, delivered from all. Here's what Paul wrote to the Romans. The creation groans. The creation is in pain. The creation is in anguish. The creation is in despair, waiting for redemption. Here's what Paul wrote. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits us. You see here, the psalmist has grasped those who live in wickedness and wanton wickedness and continued wickedness and rebellion of heart. The Lord does not hear them. The Lord does not deliver them. The righteous are broken in heart and crushed in spirit. They're crying out in faith to the Lord. They're recognizing his presence even in their affliction. And they're believing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits us. This life is not all there is. What's more, whatever you are facing now, listen to me, it will pass. And God will bring about his purpose. You cannot see it, I cannot see it, only the omniscient one can see, and only omniscience knows. And listen, there is a day the whole creation is waiting for. There is. And when John, alone on the Isle of Patmos, seeing as if the gospel is now being persecuted, Christians are being persecuted all over the world, the gospel is under threat. He sees all the horrors on earth, and then he sees all the horrors in the future. Then his eyes lift up to heaven. He sees and hears the hallelujahs in heaven. And this is what he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Yes, he will deliver us from all our troubles. And God will get his handkerchief out. He will wipe away your tears. What's more, he will wipe away and obliterate from your memory when you're from these shadow lands and in that glory land any anguish, any heartache, any grief, any pain that you're going to. And when you stand before him, somehow, some way, you will be able to see that God worked all things together for your good and for his glory, no matter what you feel right now. You see, I want you to take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one. Trust God's word. Don't trust your feelings. Do not trust people. Do not trust your pastors, your leaders. Trust God's word. Trust the promises of God. Trust them. Oh, but I can't live without this and this and that. You can. Not only you can, you must, you shall, and you will. Trust God's word. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Take this lesson home with you. Be real in his presence. If he is near to the broken in heart and the crushed in spirit, then you can howl and you can scream and you can plead and you can beg. Because God knows your frame. He remembers you are dust. He has no great expectation of me and no great expectation of you. Be real. Pour out your heart to him. Number three. Remember that heaven is real. It is. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man those things which are prepared for us. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. You live in a world, I live in a world of absolute chaos and brokenness. And not just our wider world, our personal world and our inner world. But these shadow lands will give way to the glory land. And in the meantime, right now, right where you are, we have Jesus. Our great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. For the joys and for the sorrows, the best and the worst of times, for this moment, for tomorrow, for all that lies behind, for the fears that crowd around us, for the failure of our plans, for the dreams of all I hope to be and the truth of what I am, for this I have Jesus. Jesus. Remember what David wrote when he was in the cave? There's no one who cares for my soul. Do you remember that? Do you remember that old hymn? I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Lean on him. Trust in him. Cling to him. Cry to him. Rest in him. Today. And until you see him face to face, let's stand and sing.